It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God today that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a sweet, beautiful day, and as we continue each time and each opportunity we have to get together, we're studying the book of Philippians, and we're going to close out the first chapter today, chapter 1, verses 29 and 30, and then we're going to read the first four verses of chapter 2. So while you're looking that up in your Bible so that you can follow along, I want to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church, and we're located in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. And if you're not familiar with the town, if you come right in on 136 and you find the Dairy Queen, turn one block north, and you'll find us. And please, that you come. And now, I would like to begin to read, as we always do each and every time we get together, the precious Word. Philippians chapter 1, I'm going to read the 29th and 30th verse, and then the first four verses of chapter 2. Beginning with verse 29, Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Having the same conflict which ye saw in me, now here to be in me. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any tender mercies and compassions, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And I would like to go on to one more verse. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin the study of the precious Word today. Father, I thank you that we have an opportunity. I praise you for this radio and a chance to proclaim your sweet, precious Word. I ask that you will take those words, your words, and touch every heart. I ask that you'll make it so clear the need to be saved. I ask, Father, that everyone right now will examine their heart, and if I ask the question, and I will, are you saved? Could you raise your hand? Could you say, yes, I am saved? Now, if you can't, Father, I ask today that you'll convict their heart. I ask you just touch them. Show them that you're real. Show them that you're God and you come to save them. And Father, I ask through the study of the Word today that they'll find you and see you and come to know you as their Savior. And then set their heart and their life out to live for you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. My friend, it's a joy to study the precious Word of God. And as we have been looking the last few weeks here concerning the life of Paul, and Paul is in prison, and he has this help and support of these folks from Philippi. And yet sometimes we forget. We've become very comfortable. And, you know, we live in a society today in this life, in this world. We desire comfort. We want things to go our way, and we want to have a lot of things. And we work a lot of hours and spend a lot of time to have a lot of things. And I want to ask you a question, and first of all, that question is, do you know Jesus? You know, we really can't go any further until I know that you know Jesus. That's a problem with the radio, because it's easy for you to kind of sit back and hide. We have a fairly small church building here in relationship to many others, and it'd be very difficult to hide inside this auditorium. I can see everybody. I can see your expressions, your countenances. It would change one way or the other. I can tell whether you're happy or whether you're sad, whether you like the Word, you don't like the Word, like the hymn we're singing, you don't like the hymn we're singing, you don't like the way the ushers come down the aisle. I can tell those things. Something just doesn't quite set with you, and I can see that. I can tell by the way you react. But, you know, on the radio, I can't. On the radio, you sit there, and you can listen, and you can literally hide from everybody and from the world, but you can't hide from God. And God wants to know, by His Word, He wants to know, and He wants to come into your heart. He knows you're lost or saved. And He wants to know why today you won't come to Him. He wants to know why you won't trust in Jesus. And don't give me this, that my church doesn't preach salvation and doesn't tell me that I have to have a time in my life when I have turned my heart and my life to Jesus. Because if that's the case, then your church is mistaken. Your church is missing a sweet opportunity of bringing people, allowing people to come to Jesus Christ, and you've been deceived and you've been tricked, and I ask that you would look unto the Lord Jesus today. I ask that you know Jesus Christ and that He be the most important person in your life, because the Lord Jesus is alive and the Lord Jesus is real, and I ask that you would come to Jesus, trust in the Lord Jesus, walk after Him. We have some very sweet verses of Scripture in the third chapter of John. And if you don't know Jesus, would you please listen to this? John chapter 3, beginning with verse 15, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, that's a beginning. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Would you please listen to Jesus? Because if you haven't come by faith to Him, if you haven't made a decision in your life and know it, if you don't know when you met Jesus, you haven't. If you wonder when you met Jesus, you haven't. Because your life is real, and you'll know the day you met the God, the Creator of this world, and the Savior of this world. You'll know that day. John chapter 5, we have some sweet verses of Scripture. John chapter 5, beginning with verse 24, Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that heareth my word, and believeth on Him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment or condemnation, but pass from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. They that hear shall live. Do you hear it? Are you listening to the call of God? Are you coming to Jesus today? I asked through the opening prayer, if I could see your hand, or if I could hear your voice, say, Yes, I know Jesus, but I can't. So it's between you and God. I don't need to see it anyway, but God sure does. He needs to see you respond and come to Jesus. And I ask today that you do that. I ask that you come to Him, that you hear His voice, His word. That's what's important. And you know, once we have turned to Jesus Christ and walking after Jesus Christ, now you become a hearer of the Word of God. And that's important that you understand that you cannot be a hearer of the Word of God. Oh, the words come to you, but you cannot understand them. So many things that I've been talking about for so long makes no sense to you at all. But I'm telling you, they will make sense if you'll come by faith to Jesus and ask Him into your heart. Believe in Jesus Christ and be saved. Again, in verse 29, back in Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him. You hear that? That's a responsibility you have. That's something that just doesn't happen. It's a responsibility you have is to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But you also not only believe, once you have believed, then also your life, many times, you will suffer. Now, suffer because maybe you won't have all the material things that somebody else has. Suffer because maybe you'll even be beaten as Paul. Maybe thrown in prison. Maybe hated and despised. There's so many things. In La Harpe on Monday night, we're studying and getting towards the close of the book of Acts. And we're studying as Paul was arrested in Jerusalem and then taken up to Caesarea. And we find how there's 470 soldiers had to take one man from Rome to from Jerusalem to Caesarea. And then Felix up there, now he's listening to what Paul has to say. And Felix just keeps putting it off. Felix says, you know, I'm going to listen, I'll hear you again. Some other time, I'm going to hear you. And I promise, Paul, I'll listen again. Well, if you're doing that, if you're responding the same way to the Lord Jesus today and you're saying, someday I'll listen. Someday I'm going to trust in Jesus. Someday I'll pay attention. Someday I'm going to call Larry and see if he would come down and go through the verses of Scripture with me and show me where and why that I need to be saved. You're a sinner, you're lost, you need to be saved. You need to listen to the Word of God. Please, as my voice comes across this radio, I ask that you listen today and respond unto the Lord Jesus and His precious words. And when we have proclaimed the truth, the Word of God, many times you'll find yourself standing alone. I do not compromise, as we're going to get into some of these other verses. It says down here of being of one accord, one mind, like-minded. I love the people in this church. I love them because they love the Word of God. I love them because they study the Word of God and search that Word, and that Word is changing their life. I love them because they're children of God. They have come to Jesus Christ by faith. And they have come solely and completely by faith. No other means, no other way. And because we stand upon the Word of God, the truth, no other book, no other group, we stand alone many times. But we are never alone because we have the power and the presence of God. And I love serving Jesus. Paul loved serving Jesus. And it doesn't matter. He come to Him. He was saved by Him. And he was walking after Him. And he suffered by Him. He suffered many things. He suffered loss of material things. He suffered any freedom many times. He was in prison. He was beaten. Many things took place. We find here in verse 30 it says, having the same conflict which he saw in me, now here to be in me. You know, there's a lot of things that you witnessed, he's saying. You've seen a lot of things that's taken place in my life. Acts chapter 16, verse 19. It says here, and when her masters, let me back up a little bit, Acts 16, verse 17. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. This did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said unto the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her. She was demon-possessed. She was worth something to her masters as long as she was demon-possessed. But see what happens now. It came out the same hour. In verse 19, and when her masters saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them unto the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. Didn't trouble the city at all. It took money away from them. Made them mad. Made them mad. It cost every time Paul would do something wonderful and great in bringing the Lord Jesus into this woman that was demon-possessed, cast the demons out, and she came to Jesus and was saved. It was a glorious, wonderful day. No longer was that woman worth anything to her masters. And so when she wasn't worth anything, why then they went after the people that took away that income, took away that money, and those people were Paul and Silas. Now that's what's going to happen to you. You see, if you come to Jesus today and you're saved, and you operate a tavern, you're going to have to close that tavern. You're going to have to get out of that tavern. God's not going to allow you to operate that tavern. He's going to run you out of it. So you see, it could cost you some money. Now, if you do that enough times, and we go out and start, you know, you pick at things, and you try to stand up against things, we need to be so busy about bringing the gospel to folks. And once they're saved and that Holy Spirit enters into their heart, and that's what happens the day you're saved, you're going to change. This woman changed. She totally changed. She couldn't do what she could do before when she was controlled by the old devil. So now she's walking after her own way, she's walking after the way of Jesus and not after her own way, not driven by Satan. You know, that's a lot of people don't want to come to Jesus because they like to have control of their life. You have no control of your life. You're controlled by the devil every day. The Scripture says, as we read back in John chapter 3, and then we read in John chapter 5, you're condemned already. You are operated, you are driven by the old devil if you don't know the Lord Jesus. So don't give me this line that you're your own boss, because you're not. Come to the one that'll give you freedom, that'll give you love, that'll give you power, and that one is Jesus. But this world's going to hate you when you do that. These people hated Paul and they hated Silas. We have in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. But even after that we have suffered before, and were shamefully treated, as ye know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Oh, they didn't like it, my friend. You want to be separated? You want to be divided by other churches, other preachers? You want to be divided by people of authority in the town, by friends, by family? You do one thing. You stand for Jesus Christ. You stand for Jesus. You come by faith to Jesus and be saved. And you know it. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, then you're not. Because you know the day you meet Jesus, and your life's going to change. And I ask when it changes that you do, again, I come right back to something we haven't even got to here, and that's in chapter 2, verse 2. Having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. As verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, the mind of Christ, to have the mind of Christ. Now, having the same conflict, Philippians chapter 1, verse 30, having the same conflict, which you saw in me and now hear to be in me. You saw it, you know it exists. Now, walk the same way, because if you stand for Jesus, you're going to be an outcast. If you stand for Jesus, you're going to be separated from many others. That's the problem today. People that are standing for the Lord Jesus or say they're standing for Jesus and yet compromising with others that do not stand for Jesus, they are not like-minded. You have compromised. You have sold out to the devil. Oh, you might be a Christian. I can't say whether you are or not because only God knows your heart. And I know there's many believers that are deceived. But I ask that you come back to the power of God, the presence of God, and you set your heart and your life to serve Jesus. And don't be like-minded with someone else that believes that you're saved by some other way or some other means. You can't have fellowship with them. You can have no joy with them. This great movement of today is a movement of the devil to take away the power of God. And the old devil's good at what he does. He tricks, deceives the very elect. Now please that you listen. Listen to the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Know that you're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any tender mercies and compassions, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Of one accord and one mind. Now we're going to jump down to verse 4. We'll pick up 3 a little later. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, others. I want to take just a few minutes, and then we're going back up to verse 1 and pick 3 up on our way through. Others. Everything that Jesus did was for others. God the Father loves us so much that He sent His only Son, His only begotten Son, to the cross, to die upon that cross, that my sin, your sin, everybody else's sins, you hear what I'm saying? Others. It was done for others. It was done so that we can be redeemed. It was done so that we were bought back. We were purchased by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. It's the only one that was perfect, the only one that could take away our sin, a perfect, complete sacrifice. And that's what Jesus is when He went to the cross. He is my perfect sacrifice. 2,000 years ago, He went to the cross of Calvary. He died upon that cross. He died for others. He didn't do it for Himself. He didn't have to die on that cross that He could live. He didn't have to die on that cross so His Father could live. It was done for others. Now, I ask that you'll think about that just a little bit and what you do. How many things do you do for you? And how many things do you do for others? How many times do you have an opportunity to help someone? How many times do you go that extra mile when someone's in need? How many times have you, and do you understand, if you know Jesus as your Savior, do you understand the need to tell somebody about Jesus? To tell others about Jesus? Since He died for others, and all this is given. Now look at this in verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, and you could move that if to a sense. Since there be therefore consolation in Christ, comfort in Christ, since there is comfort of love, since there is fellowship of the Spirit, since there's tender mercies, since there's compassion, since this all is there, it all exists because and is present because of Jesus. Every bit of this is present because of Jesus. It's there. It's there. Fulfill ye my joy, verse 2 says. That ye be like-minded. Now, I'll be the first to admit that we're never going to all agree. We're not going to agree on everything. So how can we be like-minded? Be of one accord, again, of one mind, verse 2 says. There's so many things in the Scripture. It depends on how you were raised. It depends on your education. Depends on how smart you are. Depends on where you work, where you go to church. So many things depend on your opinion of your mind. How can we ever all agree? How can we ever be of one mind? I want you to think about that a minute. How can we ever agree? Now, you know, as the folks come here to church, I would love to tell you that we are in total, complete agreement. That we never disagree on one part of the Scripture as we study the Scripture. I'd love to tell you that. Because then I could tell you that here, this is the perfect church. And so since I have the perfect church here, then you better get here. But I can't tell you that. But I can tell you that this church stands upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. That this church, and when I say church, I'm talking about the people. The people love Jesus. The people desire to follow after Jesus. The people love to talk about Jesus. They love to fellowship about Jesus. They love to know that they have been bought and paid for by the precious blood of Jesus. And they love to know that that blood keeps them and will keep them through eternity. They know that in this precious word, if they believe in Jesus Christ by faith, the Holy Spirit comes to live within them to guide and to lead them. They know that they have to have the mind of Christ Jesus. Now, because we're all human, because we come from different walks of life, because we have different experiences coming from different directions, yes, there are many times that I look at something a little bit different. So you could call that a difference of opinion. But one thing we don't have here, and that's a difference of opinion, how you're saved. We don't have a difference of opinion of the importance of baptism. We don't have a difference of opinion of how glorious and wonderful it is to have the Lord's Supper. Because here we're of one mind. We know we come by faith to the Lord Jesus. And if you come with a broken, contrite heart, come unto the Lord Jesus and ask Him to save you because you're a lost, condemned sinner, that He will save you. And once you have been saved, then the next step of obedience is to be baptized. Because it is a picture of what's taking place in your heart. No, it does not hinge on whether you're saved or lost if you are or are not baptized. But I'll tell you one thing, you're not going to be in fellowship with the Lord if you don't follow the Lord in baptism. Because baptism is so important. It pictures what's taking place in your heart and God commands it. So follow after that command. Be baptized. Be immersed. Go down into the water. Picturing the day that your life, now down into the water, pictures the death. Because you see, we die with Christ. And then coming up out of the water pictures the resurrection. We live with Christ. Because if we die with Christ, if you'll meet Him at the cross and trust in Him today by faith, and you die with Him, then you live with Him as well. And oh, it's a glorious time to live with Jesus. We believe that as often as you take the Lord's Supper, it represents the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. It represents His broken body upon the cross of Calvary. No broken bones, no, but His body as it was cut up and beaten. And the juice pictures His blood, the precious blood that was shed for you and for me. That blood that redeemed you and me. Now, that's of one mind. And no one's going to take away the Word of God from me. And the joy I have in Jesus Christ. No one is going to take those foundations away from me. We agree, we're of one mind. Oh, the differences we disagree on are very minor. Very little. Maybe to do with dates or something that might have happened in the Scripture. We're of one mind. Because we believe that you're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. And that alone. Jesus only can save you, nothing else. Not by keeping the law, not by doing anything other than coming to Jesus by faith. You want the joy? Fulfill ye my joy, the Scripture says here. Be of like mind. Be of the mind of Christ. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?